Funko Pop. What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Modern Christian Dudes podcast. My name is Jeremiah Johnson. I am with my best friend in the whole world, Funko Pro, Greg Walden. How are you, sir?
Doing good. How you doing?
We're both coming off great weekends.
Yep.
Pastor's appreciation, celebrating that myself, and just feeling so appreciated today, Greg Walden.
Well, I appreciate you.
And I'm sure you'll add to that.
Yep.
Yeah.
I appreciate
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Funko Pro Greg Walden, if you have never been to the good old land of Eureka Springs, Arkansas, check that out, right?
Yeah, it's very, if you love the Ozarks, it's Eureka is right there, smack dab right in the middle of the Ozarks. Got to see some really cool scenery. My buddy told me about a little bridge you got to go check out in a town called Beaver, which is about 6 or 7 miles north of Eureka Springs.
Okay.
It's off the beaten path a little bit, but there's like a little one-lane wooden bridge that has a yellow steel frame. It looks kind of a replica of the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. It's pretty neat.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, yes, we can't overemphasize how beautiful and wonderful we think Arkansas is.
I mean,
specifically that northwest area.
Well, I told my wife, like one of my weird ideas of just getting a small plot of land to retire on, and she's like, well, I was like, this – thinking about if you had like a small plot of land with these all these mountain views, how beautiful it would be. I don't want to live down here. I'm like, come on, it's beautiful.
Shell, come on.
Yeah. Gotta get her on the page. We need to get her on the same page.
That's right. okay. Well, we are Dudes Talking News, Sports, and God. And I hope you had a great I love the weather again. Once again, I'm in big weather. It was cold this morning, but now it's like perfect mid afternoon.
Yep.
The best weather right now, so I love it. Well, anyway, let's start off mourning the loss of Suzanne Summers.
Yeah, I heard that yesterday. Man, that was...
Passed away, 76 years old.
Yep.
Lost her bout with cancer. Now, I am not a Suzanne. I probably... What, did she do the little leg flexing
exercise? Yeah, there was
exercise?
I think it was a Thighmaster.
Thighmaster, yeah, that's thigh master, right.
Yeah.
Woo!
Thank you, Thighmaster.
I mean, I am who I am because of that today. I mean, I have some... You can't see my legs on camera right now, but no.
You use
still do the Thighmaster.
Oh, you still do the Thighmaster?
No. But that was a great one, wasn't it? We should do a whole show on all the old workout gear throughout the years. And
the Total Gym.
Thighmaster has to be up there.
Yeah,
it was one of the all-time.
I think it was the OG. I think it had to have been the OG of a mail order.
Infomercial mail order.
Yeah.
So Suzanne Summers, who played the bubbly blonde Chrissy Snow on the TV sitcom Three's Company, I think that was her claim to fame originally, right?
Well, she actually starred on some other ones, but what I remember was from Three's Company back when I was a kid.
What else did she do? I'm trying to think of there. I know that's like one of her big things. Thighmaster, wrote some books, things of that nature.
Yeah, I think she also started another TV series, but I can't remember what the name
was. Step by Step. She was on there. Step by Step. Wow, she was on some big ones there. So, anyway, shout out to Suzanne Summers. I don't, she was a little before my time. I do remember some of the stuff she did, but like Three's Company is like, I was super, I didn't even know what the years are.
I was a kid. I was,
I think reruns. I remember that or whatever.
I was a kid when that TV series was on.
Did you ever have a crush on Suzanne Summers? Was she on the crush list ever for you?
I think she was pretty.
Yeah, I mean, and she was beautiful later in life. I mean, we're married.
You're trying to get me in trouble with my wife.
No, I'm like childhood crushes. That's a good conversation to have, right? As dudes, childhood crushes that you had. Like again, I'm a Saved by the Bell guy. So Tiffany Amber Thiessen and Saved by the Bell. Like,
actually, like to be honest with you, my first actress I thought was I would say a crush would be Christy McNichol.
Yeah, and what was she?
That was when she was in the pirate movie.
Okay.
That was a long time ago. It was like 81 or something.
Come
like that.
On. Yeah. Confession. We've all had the childhood crushes before, those ladies that we thought were so great. And now, as we grew older, they'd be like 40 years older than us. We'd be like, ew. We'd be like,
ew. Ew. some of them have aged pretty good.
Yeah. Suzanne Summers. Yep. Shout out.
She's aged well. Yep. And
wonderful things as she got older in life. So there you go. I did catch that this morning. So I figured we'd give a tribute to her. In her life, so and I think she was a Christian too. I think I feel like I saw some.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with stuff. her personal.
I don't know that person. I shouldn't say that if I don't know that for sure. Anyway, moving on. I'm not a big Saturday Night Live guy anymore, based on their culture of liberalism and stuff like that. But they did make fun of my guy Deion Sanders Saturday night. I did catch a clip.
Yeah.
And it was pretty funny. They didn't like swear or anything.
Well, he's I've also saw some Deion Sanders memes, but yeah, it's sad.
Yeah. But I want to bring up, so you have the NIL, okay? So if you're not familiar with sports, basically for years, you know, athletes can't get money, college athletes.
Right.
Because you're not considered a pro athlete. And then you have people like myself that started being like, wait a second, all the NCAA, supposedly this self-righteous organization, is banking millions and even billions of dollars off these athletes, okay? And so I'm on the side of like, you know, they're selling their jerseys, et cetera, all these kind of things. So Johnny Manziel, you know, this guy really started heating up because he was like selling autographs, things like that.
Yeah.
So I lean towards maybe there should be some type of compensation for players because someone's getting paid at the end of the day. You know, as self-righteous right. as we want to sound, it's like NFL guys. You complain about, okay, Pat Mahomes got this $400 million contract, right? You realize he's just a player.
Yeah.
He's not even the owner. So imagine how much the owner is making
they're
if one player is making that, right? Yeah. So those are the guys cleaning house at the end of the day. Whatever. I know college, you should consider it free education. You're getting paid. So I lean towards they should get some compensation, but it's definitely getting out of control in one sense. So check this out. NCAA football. This is from ian.as.com. How much is Shedeur Sanders, my current favorite court, Deion Sanders' son, Shedeur Sanders, he's got an NIL deal worth the Colorado Buffalo. So let me just read the part of this. It says, Coach Deion Sanders has been a game changer for the University of Colorado football team. He led the team to a 3-0 start. They're now 4-3. And a top 20 ranking, drawing attention from millions nationwide. Sanders' impact on the team is called the prime effect. His confidence, coaching skills, and inspirational quotes contribute to the team's success. Three of Colorado's top NIL earners this season are Sanders' sons, Shedeur and Shiloh, and Travis Hunter. Okay, so this was not tweeted out. You have to say on X. So at this point, and he could garner more money, Colorado's quarterback Shedeur Sanders could potentially make $10 million in NIL money, according to Joel Klatt.
It's kind of
$10 million.
Think about it. You go through 4 years of college, you make all that endorsements. Why go pursue a career? You could retire right after college. Kind of wasting the idea of going to college. He's like, okay, obviously my guess is they're going to enjoy the fruits of their labor and go out and buy mansions and Lamborghinis and Ferraris. And yeah, they will have to still work and play and all that stuff. But think about it. If somebody like me, if I were to go to 4 years of college and somebody sold my shirt and I made, you know, $10 to $15 million, when I graduated high school, I'd be driving my F-150, buy a modest house, and just live the rest of my life off the interest of what I can invest in, you know.
Yeah. So according to On3, Shedeur Sanders' NIL deals are valued at $5.1 million, making him the sixth most valuable player in college football. He's believed to make up to $10 million in NIL deals in the future, which is more than three times the average NFL player's salary. So what they're saying is Shedeur doesn't need to necessarily hop to the NFL right away because he's making more right now than he would in the NFL as a rookie. So he's in no rush to get there.
I wouldn't.
But
I mean, based on if you're talking about pure money.
I just think that's amazing. So I think that's kind of a little bit out of control. But I just view it from the standpoint of, I don't know, I try to make comps in one sense to be like, okay, you wrote a book, right? So let's say you wrote a book, someone else took it and started making lots of money off of it.
Yeah, that
definitely. Your name, your story, your
everything,
right? Everything. And you'd be, at some point, you'd be like, hey, I should get some of that at least.
Right. I did the work. I mean, I'm the one that did the work. You just took it and sell it. I mean, granted, marketing.
It's not the greatest comparison, but I am saying these players, they're using their name, money,
and he doesn't jersey sales. Well, the thing is, on his case, whoever's taking selling it doesn't even have to market because the player is marketing themselves. They're out there getting all these big money. You know, like Pat Mahomes. What marketing? Pat Mahomes. His name is basically gold. When you could probably make a Pat Mahomes toothpick and go sell it for millions of dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, just obviously he his performance. He comes out. He has he comes out after Alex Smith. And nobody really knew who he was before he was back up to Alex Smith. Nobody really knew him until he became the Yeah. And he had all this, he had a breakout year and all that, and you know, he's doing all this. So, I mean, his performance is his marketing.
Yep.
But, so, you know, still, like, you know, like, again, he's, you know, I kind of understand where people, you know, obviously, you know, if they're using your name, you should get some compensation.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, how much? I don't know. I mean, I can tell you.
Let me be okay. Here's my take. I want to go back to the innocent days of college football, right? Where you got a scholarship, you went and played, and you should look at that scholarship as a blessing and like, wow, I get to play college football and get an education for free. Yeah. I would love to go back to those days. They're just not a reality anymore.
Well, think about how much does a education at a high end school cost? I mean,
a lot. Yeah.
I mean, there's people coming out with six figure debts. I mean, you know, so that's not chump change. I went to DeVry, and even with DeVry, of course, DeVry is a private school, but still, I mean, I walked out with about $49,000 in debt, and I'm like, crap. Excuse me, like croaky, you know. I'm like, but still, I mean, that is toothpicks compared to what some of these other people are coming out with.
Yep. So anyway. Shador, congratulations. Just remember, Dion, I'm showing you love. I'm supporting you. So kick back. Kick back for me.
Send
me a gift card or something, Dion.
Shador. This is his first year coaching, right?
In the NCAA Division I.
So
he was at Jackson State.
What will next year bring for him, or the third year? People might joke with him now.
Yeah,
but I bet they're going to be when he actually builds that team to where they become a real powerhouse.
Yeah.
I mean, think about Andy Reid. What was Andy Reid's first year at Kansas City like?
Right.
I mean, they were good.
Yep.
But now it's like but looking years later, I mean, he's really.
They had one win last year, one, and they already have four. So he's headed the game thus far. Well, speaking of money, we encourage you, I think you'd agree with this, Funko Pro Greg Walden, that divorce is not the best idea decision.
No. God hate. In fact, the Bible in the world. Says God hates it.
So yeah. Yeah.
We should pay attention to that.
So I have not been divorced. I'm going on 24 years of marriage this year, a long time. So, but I found this article, 13 expensive celebrity divorce settlements that reveal that what happened. So this is crazy. You got Tiger Woods and Ellen Norgan, $750 million. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, $400 million. Kevin Costner and Cindy Silva, $800 million. Alec and Jocelyn Wildenstein, $2.5 billion. And it just going through this list of all these celebrity divorces. And crazy.
Well, and I'll be honest with you.
On the thought of money. Yeah.
I've been through one. I mean, obviously, and here's the thing is there's no winners in a divorce. I hate to break that to anybody. There's no winners. Nobody wins in a divorce. Maybe the lawyers, but as far as the husband and the groom, the spouse, the two spouses, you really don't win. I mean, think about the emotional cost, the mental cost. I mean, a lot of times it's a spiritual cost. I mean, then you got your effect on your kids. I mean, it's something that really negatively affects a lot of lives, not just the spouses. So that's why God hates it.
Yeah. This list is just crazy. I mean, Michael and Juanita Jordan, $168 million at the time. Michael Strahan. I mean, just wow. Yeah. I don't ever want to get divorced because, I mean, Pastor Rachel would take all my money and just take me to task. So,
think about it. Well, I mean, I don't want to get into a spiritual talk. I mean, I try not to get into a spiritual talk.
Yeah, no, we can do spiritual talk, sure.
But it's the culture. I mean, what does the culture tell you to do?
Get divorced.
If you have a problem, get divorced.
We don't love each other anymore.
Yeah. The culture.
Don't got the feelings anymore.
And who's the head of the culture? The devil. I mean, obviously, he's God, but the God of this world. I mean, that's who the culture's following.
Yep.
And so the devil is always trying to get you to press people to do what opposite what God wants you to do. He wants you to sin. He wants you to get away from God. He wants to draw you away from God. And divorce is one of the ways he does it.
Yeah.
And think about it, divorce. I mean, obviously, the impact on, like I said before, the impact on you and your spouse. But think about what impact it's going to have on your children.
Yeah.
They grow up seeing their mommy live once a place. And then they're going to say, was it my fault? And then when they get married, they're going to go, well, the answer to my problems, get divorced. Like my mom and dad got divorced. They had a problem. Sure. So it becomes a generational thing.
And you're a Sunday school teacher and I'm a pastor. Yeah. And, you know, we see these kids a lot in our church, you know, kids, youth.
Yeah.
And, you know, from broken homes, you know, whatever you want to call it, divorced families. And it's not a healthy thing.
No. And my heart goes out to them. I've had a couple. And it's like, you hear the way they talk. And it's like, your heart goes out to them. It's like, I can relate, you know, in a way I can relate to you know, cause I've seen seen my kid go through it.
Yeah.
Cause obviously, you know, like I said, I've been through one divorce before. So, I mean, I've seen how my child has like, dad, why ain't you? But mom anymore. And I'm like,
right.
It's like, you know, it's hard situation. And so it becomes a generational thing. It's like now, like my daughter got divorced.
Mm, wow.
So she's divorced from her, you know, she's got an ex-husband now. And it's like, and her thing is, well, if we can't get along, I mean, I don't want to bust out too much, but their attitude is like, well, get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, again, there is a generational impact and I can see it. I mean, I'm seeing it from my own experience.
Yeah. Wow. So anyway, I know we're getting deep in it already, challenging that, but I just found that interesting article and it's just a simple reality. I know it's easier said than done. God's ways work.
Yes.
And they're the best.
Follow God.
I mean, when marriage, job, relationships, friendships.
Well, here's the thing is, I take this out because, again, I've adopted, I mean, I've really learned a lot since my first divorce. I mean, it was kind of a situation that was thrust upon me, but it happened. But now it's like, and be honest, guys, you know, I've gone through difficulties in my marriage. I'm sure you've gone through difficulties. Nobody goes through, there's never such thing as a perfect marriage.
Right.
I mean, you still got two people. You got a husband and wife.
Two carnal.
But, yep, like you said, they're both
sinful natured humans.
they both have times they I want this, she wants that, and they butt heads. Like, I want my way. Okay, who's going to give? Arguments. You're going to have, if you're going to be married for any time, period of time, you're going to have, you're going to have arguments with your spouse.
Yes.
You're going to have battle of the will with your spouse.
Yes.
And then you're going to have times where both of you are being stubborn. Like, I want my way. And then, and then the culture says, well, get divorced. But no, the Bible, this is where the rubber meets the road. Mm-hmm. Are you going to follow God or not?
Yep.
Are you going to follow God? Are you going to love your wife, not when she's giving you your presents and stuff? Are you going to love your wife when she's mad at you, arguing with you, even probably she be calling you names? Making you feel like, God, why did I marry this person? I mean, think about it. You know, I've had times like, why did I marry this person? But, you know, I'm choosing to love her. I mean, it's a choice.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, okay, she's done this against me. Well, I've done things against God, and he loves me. He doesn't divorce me.
Yeah.
Jesus does not divorce me. And he has every right to.
Yes.
He has every right to.
Absolutely.
But he chooses to love me regardless. So if we're going to have, part of being a Christian is having the love of Christ in you and showing that to other people. So I choose to show the love of Christ to my wife.
Yeah.
Even when there's times we're mad at each other, I'm like, oh gosh, why? You know, I choose to follow God. And love my wife, even when there's times I feel like maybe she doesn't deserve it. Doesn't matter. I still love her.
Amen. Well, we got good old Funko Pro Greg Walden preaching at us here today, guys. That's always a good thing. So praise God for that. All right. I'm a preacher. I need preach at as well. Praise God. Take that for what it is to you today. Don't the moral of the story, we're just trying to say, don't get divorced. It'll create many problems, more so than money. That's for sure. But anyway, bouncing over to the NFL, then we'll get to some stories if you have them. Funko Pro Greg Walden. Yep. NFL, let's just roll through what's going on in the NFL real quick. Chiefs won again versus the Broncos, not very convincingly. Ravens get a dub. They're still looking fairly okay. Commanders get a dub. They're 3-3 at least. My Vikings finally get another win over the Bears. That is not saying much at all. That's equivalent. That's the equivalent of the Chiefs winning over the Broncos. Bengals get another win, 17-13 over the Seahawks. That's a solid win. The one that was my NFL Super Bowl winner prediction, 49ers lose first to Browns, but they have injuries. Christian McCaffrey gets injured, and that's what I kept saying is, like, if they can stay injury-free, they're going to win the Super Bowl. If they get some injuries, and here it comes. They got some injuries. The Jaguars, feisty, interesting team, 4-2, beat the Colts. That's a team to watch because I don't believe in them yet, but
they
see what happens. Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, go ahead. I'm
Yeah, Texans get a dub. We're just ripping through them quick. This is the big one. The Raiders beat the Patriots, and now Bill Belichick, even Teddy Bruschi, who is a Patriots legend, comes out today and says maybe it's time to move on.
And Bill Belichick's also he's also looking for a new tablet too.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say. I've said it now on a couple different podcasts. I think just the games kind of moved past him a little bit, and I think he's going to have to leave because a lot of people thinking he's staying in the game because he wants to set the all-time leading coaching record, but they're a disaster slash dumpster fire right now, and they're not even going to turn around next year based on current contracts they have, players. This ship is not turning around anytime soon.
Yeah, and like you said before, I think really it was Brady versus Bill Belichick on this one.
Yep, Brady's sipping on whatever he sips on his yacht right now in South Florida, being like, "Yep, I'm the man. I'm the man." Although he's alone because he's getting divorced.
Well, he's doing Hurts commercials now, so I mean,
yeah. Anyway, Rams get a win over the Cardinals. Not saying too much. The Eagles do lose, though, versus the Jets.
Upset. That was the big upset.
Eagles finally get a loss. The Lions, they get a win, and they're interesting. I would put the Lions as the most interesting team right now. Yeah, I'd say
if their performance stays the same, they'll make the playoffs easy.
They'll definitely make the playoffs. It's, you know, these teams are – those teams that are not normally good are – do they have enough to make a run in the playoffs, you know? Because that's where you get the Chiefs. The Chiefs are like, they're not looking great, but you know they know how to game.
Yeah, they like I said,
they know how to ball when it comes to game time.
The Chiefs, I mean, for the most part, Chiefs always like those dirty wins.
They do.
I call them dirty wins. Like, they don't really, like, I've seen them go out and score a bunch of points.
Yep.
And then they squander the lead, and it's like comes right down to the last minute. And it's like they're nail biting.
They enjoy it. It's like they enjoy it. Yeah. All right, over to you, Funko Pro. What you got for us today?
All right, got a couple things. What's our favorite gas station in the whole wide world?
Bucky's. Yes, soon opening in
Springfield.
They say they
may open in December.
Oh, we're road tripping for sure.
May.
That's not a question.
Yeah, May open. We will be December.
There. Well, let's be those dorky people that camp out like in a tent for 5 days beforehand.
Yeah, you'll probably get removed by the police. Like, sir, you have to get out of here, please.
You know that people are gonna invade that place.
Oh, I plan to. But they're saying May is a possibility. It could open December. They say most likely it'd be early 2024. But I am definitely watching that. It's a if you haven't heard of Bucky's, then it's the best. And they're also breaking ground in Amarillo.
You should get jobs there. I want to see what it's like to work for.
But here's an interesting
Michelle.
Yeah,
Murphy's to Bucky's. Okay,
there you go. But here's the interesting fact. This will be the only Bucky's in Springfield. Will be the only Bucky's on Route 66.
Oh, they can work that.
Yep, that would be the. I bet they'll have some Route 66 something on there.
A Bucky's. Yep. 66
version. But yeah, it'll be the only Bucky's on Route 66 that have about 100 gas pumps.
Wow. I'm sure people like us, you hype it up, and you know, you've been to those things where people hype it up so much and you go and you're like, oh, that was okay. But I mean, Bucky's is, you gotta do it.
Yeah, if you
gotta check that out.
If you've never been to Bucky's, this is no hype. This is absolutely no hype.
It is the biggest
Yes.
gas station, easily.
Yeah, and this won't be the biggest Bucky's. I mean, I think there's one in either Tennessee or something that's bigger. That's actually bigger than this one. But still, you got a gift shop. And obviously, it's a gift shop. It's a given.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of candies and beaver nuggets.
Chips, beaver nuggets.
They also have their own brisket, pulled pork. They have a place you get their brisket sandwiches are actually really good and very inexpensive, too.
Yep, yes.
And so it's kind of a good all around place you can go and get kind of spend your money.
Yep, I love I love it. So Bucky's is great. Any other stuff you got there?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Keep rolling through. I did mine already.
All righty. Just there is a Guinness book. A Guinness World Record was of cereal boxes being toppled like dominoes was set.
Ooh, that'd
on
be
October 13th.
Okay.
A nonprofit set up 12,952 cereal boxes in Detroit and toppled them like dominoes to break the Guinness Book of World Records.
Okay.
And of course they had all lined up. The record before this was
did they have cereal in the boxes still? I wonder.
It didn't say if it did or not. I imagine it would have because otherwise it would flop over.
Yeah. If they're just empty boxes, it'd be kind of a mess.
But it was a company, nonprofit organization called Move for Hunger. Attempted the feat Thursday at Henry Ford Detroit Pistons Performance Center and aiming to break the record of 6,391. So they basically like, we'll just double it.
Kind
of.
Nice.
And it was set by Long Beach Middle School in New York in 2021.
Cool.
The domino chain was set off by none other than Kellogg's mascot, Tony the Tiger.
Yay.
You know what he said?
He's still around.
You know what he said when he started? You know what he said when he started off the thing, right?
No.
It's great.
Well, I was going to say that, but I was looking for some dad joke that was
that was come. The dad joke. They're okay. Great. That was my two stories there.
All right. Let's get into some spiritual talk today. I did want to bring, because I was going to like, sometimes I'm the preacher that I do call people out in the audience during my preaching. Sometimes I'm like, maybe I shouldn't do that.
Been there.
I was tempted. I was going to call you out in a good way of the day, but I was preaching on Ephesians chapter 4. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So yesterday what I preached on is basically what I was saying. I started off with this example. I couldn't even find this book. It's called The Gucci Bird. Have you heard of this one?
Never heard of it.
Okay, it was a kid's book. Like this, my grandma gave this to me when I was a kid. I've had it. I've read it to my kids, my girls. The summary is it's a prince. Okay, this is a fake story, fictional, right? But it's of a prince who's spoiled rotten, gets whatever he wants, when he wants, you know, get me this now. And then basically one day he asked for a Gucci bird, which is like a bird that does not even exist. I want a bird with a long tail and polka dotted belly, and he just makes it up, right? And so the king's servants go and they get the Gucci bird. They actually find one, okay, in the jungle or something. They bring it back to the boy. And then all of a sudden, he realizes this Gucci bird is super annoying because now the Gucci bird is demanding of the boy to do everything he wants, okay? So then the boy hates the Gucci bird. He's trying to get rid of him, puts him in jail. But every morning he wakes up and the Gucci bird is still right there, right? And annoying him. So now the Gucci bird flips the script and he's making the boy serve him and do everything that he wants to do. Well, what happens in the process of all of this? His personality and character begins to change and he learns to serve, be more polite. And so as his character changes and he finally changes from this horrible, selfish, mean prince to a humble, nice, loving, serving prince, the Gucci bird disappears. Never to be seen again, okay? And then he grows up to become a great king that loves and serves. So the point I made was that the young prince had to learn that the gift of royalty is not for your own self-interest, but it's to serve people and to build the kingdom.
Bingo.
Okay? Yeah. So guess what? 1 John says, because of Jesus, who's royalty now? Us, followers of Christ. We have been made, through Jesus Christ, sons and daughters of God. We're children of God, right?
Yeah.
We're no longer slaves.
Yep.
So what does that mean? It means we're royalty. It means that we have been given the gift. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it because you can't earn royalty if you haven't been born into it.
It was imputed to us by Jesus at the moment of our salvation.
Amen, right? So now we're royalty, but our royalty is not for our own benefit. It's to serve people and to build the kingdom. That's what Christianity is all about.
That was Christ's example when he was on earth. He worked exactly. His disciples' seat.
A servant leader, right?
Right.
And so I brought that up, and the reason I was going through Ephesians was to say, because it says that. Now, it's the NLT. But another word used in other translations is grace, which is grace is a gift anyway, right? So it says, now these are the gifts given to the church. And so the point I was making that God has given all of us gifts, and God has given us some of these gifts in Ephesians, but they're not titles, they're not positions, they're gifts of service to serve other people and to build the kingdom of God.
And think about it, like, you know, if you you can even tie a little bit back into the gift of talents, because he said the master gave the talents according to their abilities. So God gives us gifts, and I believe based on the abilities he gives us. I mean, some of us, like, you're gifted, but you can play guitar. I can't play guitar with a lick.
Yeah.
But you can play guitar. But am I supposed to be jealous of you because, well, I want to play guitar too.
Yeah.
No, God didn't make me to play guitar.
Yep.
And I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah.
And so I want to take, God gives each of us certain talents, certain gifts that we can do that and for purpose of, he wants us to use those to reach people. Maybe the gift he gave you, you could reach somebody that I couldn't reach.
Yeah.
Because you have that gift that could connect with that unbeliever, and that you know, and they get saved. And I could have gifts that you don't have that I can use that maybe will help me connect to serve Jesus in the realm that he wants me to serve him. And again, it's not a competition. We're all on the same team. That's why you're talking about unity. We're serving the same God. We all serve Jesus. Our goals are the same. You want to reach the lost. I want to reach the lost.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take as many people to heaven with me as possible. And I know you want to take as many people to heaven with you as possible. So it's not a competition. I know some people it's not a competition. You're serving the same master. You're serving the same God, same Lord, and your goals are the same.
Yeah.
And you say, thank you, God, for giving me the gifts that you give me.
Yep.
I'm not in this for the gifts.
Yeah.
I'm not in it for the gifts. I'm in it because I want to serve Jesus.
Yep.
That's it.
Amen. And I was going to bring you up because I think you're a prophet. I mean, I really do. I was using examples. I said apostles. Apostles are sent ones. And we have some retired missionaries, Greg and Helen Ensign, that spent 20 years. Those are apostles, okay? We don't use that. The reason we don't use apostles, at least in the Sons of God or where I'm at, is because of the abuse of that term, right? Some people are like, well, I'm an apostle. Oh, you know, that doesn't make you anything but a servant to the kingdom of God. There's pastors. I'm a pastor. There are evangelists, you know, people that love. I mean, they're so gifted. I wish I was, you know, you've hung out with evangelists, right? I mean, they are, they just, like, wherever they go, dude, they just know how to preach the gospel. I mean, they are just evangelists to the truest sense. And I don't know that I'm that, but, you know, anyway. And prophets are people that give us insight into what God's doing and the holiness of God. And, you know, you're a dreamer. And I don't think, like, I've even ever said that, but I mean, I think you have prophetic gifting strongly in your life, you know, because some of the dreams and visions that you have. And guess what? When we say things like that, the downside of the crazy stuff, at least from my perspective, is that's the danger. There's no titles or positions in the kingdom. There's only gifts of service. Right. So the downside of what happens is if you begin to say, well, I'm Prophet Greg Walden, you know, there's an arrogance that comes with that. Or like, I know what God's saying and you don't. And that's where scripture is telling us, no, they're just gifts to serve and to build the kingdom of God.
And also the big word of humility comes up.
Yeah.
It's like, don't become a spiritually big-headed Christian. Because that's when God's going to pop that balloon.
Yep.
It's like, no, you're not.
That's not what the gifts are for. No, they're not for you.
I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. I will look at a new Christian and it's like, you know what? I'm no better than that person.
Yeah.
I'm no better. It's like, I'm no better. I mean, the Bible, the gospel is not about me. It's about Jesus.
Yep.
It's not about me. In fact, the Bible's like, I must die to myself, deny myself, mm-hmm. pick up my cross and follow Christ.
Yeah.
The Bible, as Paul says, I'm a slave to Christ.
Yep.
Refer to himself as a slave.
Slave. Yep.
Yeah. We might be royalty, but no, I consider myself a slave.
Yeah.
The Bible says that Christ purchased us with a price. So we didn't purchase Jesus. Jesus purchased us.
Yeah.
And so we got to keep that, you know, always. I think the reverence for God, fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom, obviously. But we also need to keep a sense of humility at all times. You got to have that sense of humility at all times and keep that humility at all times.
Yeah. So I just, man, that was my prayer and intention in preaching the word was to just remind people that, we are gifts. You know, we are, you know, I never want to underestimate to anyone, myself, you here, and anyone listening. If you're a follower of Christ, you are a gift. You know, you're a gift to the body of Christ, to the body of believers. And that's a great thing, right? And we should, because there's some people, they're not using their gifts to build up the church and the body of Christ. And that's a sad thing, because every one of us, when we are operating in our gifts and who we are, it makes the church better. It makes the kingdom of God better. And yeah. So we are gifts, but we can't take arrogance in that. And I do have, from an earthly perspective, I have a position and I have a title of I'm Pastor Jeremiah, right? Yeah. It's like, and some people literally think, right, they view it in a hierarchy, right? If you looked at Grace Point, Jeremiah's at the top, right? Some people, you know, that's how, in their brain, mentally, that's how some people think.
Human nature.
Yeah, human nature.
Think of what human nature is, too. Yeah. Well, he's the pastor. They put him up there, and, yeah. You know, people tend to put people on pedestals.
Yeah. It's not the worst thing to say, okay, I do have influence. I do have, you know, leader, things like that. Well, yeah, but it's the mentality to say, don't ever forget, no matter who you are, where you are, what your part is in the body of Christ, you're nothing more than a servant.
Yeah.
And your gifts, whatever they might be, and however they might look to other people, insignificant size, stature, whatever, they are gifts of service to serve other people and to build the kingdom.
Yeah, there's one gift or title that's not mentioned in the Bible. That's pew sitter.
Yeah, that's not a gift. No,
no. But it's encouraging people. I mean, in fact, when I first got to the church, when I first got to Excelsior Springs, and I was going through the membership class up at the assembly, got up at Excelsior Springs, and the pastor had a chart. He kind of had a chart of his goal of people. Yeah, getting people, you know, obviously getting lost to come into church, getting saved, but the goal wasn't for that person just, okay, he got saved, he just sits in the pew.
Yeah.
The goal was to get people out of the pews.
Yep.
And find their gift, find their ministry, find what God's called them to do.
Yep. Yep.
And to learn to be active in it.
Yeah.
And so the goal was to get people out of the pews into service.
Yep. Yeah. And in our church, and I'll preach my little foreword, I use four words: discover, connect, live, mission. Mm-hmm. Discover a relationship with Christ, discover your purpose in Him, right? Connect to believers and to a local church so that you can express your gifts, because your gifts are for the world, but they are for the body of Christ specifically as well. Live in that. You're not meant to just say a prayer of salvation. You're actually meant to be a disciple and a follower of Christ for your entire life, to live a life for Jesus. And then finally, a sense of mission. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel.
And it takes each person. Like, I tell you what, I mean, God will, if you're attentive, if you're prayer and obedient, you will find it.
Yeah.
And you might, and he'll find ways that you don't expect. Like, I never expected to be a Sunday school teacher. Honestly, I came here and I never expected to be a Sunday school teacher.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, Pastor Justin's like, hey, I need a Sunday school teacher. That was right there.
Yeah.
God put that in my path. And so the question is, am I going to listen? Am I going to be obedient?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Is it out of my comfort zone?
Yeah.
You know it's from God when it's out of your comfort zone.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're like, I don't feel equipped to do this.
Yep.
Bingo. That's where you found your path.
Praise God.
And it's, so I'm like, I'm not comfortable with this. And like, but I'll do it. I'll be obedient to it. And then, you know what I found out? That's the most awesome thing that God ever asked me to do.
Yep.
Now I enjoy it.
Amen. Use your gifts, man. Come on, modern Christian dudes and ladies and all of you guys. You're gifted. You are a gift. Every one of you are a gift to the body of Christ, and you should use it for the glory of God, okay? All right, guys, appreciate you. Talk to you next time. Shout out to you, my God. My God, yes, and my guy, Deion Sanders. You can do it. Go get the dub next week. We'll talk again.